Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast, where every week Danny and Maura Vega discuss topics that help families live a healthy and active lifestyle with their little ones, including nutrition and training, peaceful parenting, education, and mindset. To stay up to date, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast and check out the blog at www.fatfuel.family. You can also find them on Facebook and Instagram at dannyvega.ms, at fatfueledmom, and at fatfueledkids, and Fat Fuel Family on YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Hey guys, we want to take a minute to talk about a revolutionary idea that our friends shared with us in February that has completely changed our lives. For those of you who know us well or have been listening to us for a while, you know how much we love to travel. Imagine having a VIP 4 to 5 star travel experience at 2 to 3 star prices. Imagine getting paid to travel. Well, all of these things have now become our reality, and we can't not share it with our listeners. Now that we know what we know, we will never pay full price on travel ever again. If you're interested in joining us and millions of other people who have been traveling the world and living their dreams, just email us at hello@fatfueled.family for more info.
Welcome to the Fat Fuel Family Podcast. I'm your ghost. I'm your host, I'm joined by my comedian wife, Maura.
I may or may not be your ghost as well. We'll find out.
Yeah. So yeah, we're a little giddy right now. We're super excited because we have a really good friend on. First of all, how was your workout?
It was actually really good.
Mine was just cardio today. It was really good as well.
So it was bad. Perfect.
It was bad.
That's like my actual nightmare.
You want to hear something hilarious? Like, I had to charge my phone because it wasn't fully charged when I left. So I had my wireless headphones on and I had the phone
charging on the where in the treadmill?
Behind the treadmill stair. Yeah. And I was on the Stairmaster and YouTube was just playing, and it somehow went to like I listened to for 30 minutes like 3 or 4 videos about people who hate Ellen DeGeneres. And I was like, why am I listening to this? But it was like all these examples.
Well, she's part of the whole, I don't know, guys.
Well, she's not nice to people sometimes. And I didn't know about it. So I was listening to it. It's entertained.
Crazy, since her platform is niceness.
But yeah, but it was.
Everything is a lie, guys.
It was very weird. There was a lot of weird stories. Like one of them was like this one person who came on and she wasn't allowed to use the bathroom because the Jonas Brothers were in it. And she didn't have an actual bathroom to use. And then she has supposedly a rule. If you're like an intern there, you're supposed to chew gum before you go into her office.
Oh, so you don't smell, have a bad breath.
But if you smell, you have to go home and shower. So yeah, that was my cardio experience today. Oh, it was definitely entertaining.
That's really funny. I would not be able to do cardio listening to
that. Yeah, I just listen to people talking and it just entertains me. And then I play my little games.
I can listen to talking, but not probably that.
Yeah, it was definitely, but I couldn't get off. But I was playing my little games where I go up and down on the on the levels. But anyways, let's introduce our guest. Adam Shively, aka the PhD, previously heavy dude, hit a rock bottom moment in his life where he weighed 327 pounds. He went on his own 100-pound weight loss journey. And as he was on his journey, he started to inspire people in his hometown to join him. He started a gym and a boot camp program and helped his hometown lose over 35,000 pounds in 5 years. Now he's the host of the top-ranked health podcast, The Million Pound Mission. He also has Casting the Pod, which is another awesome podcast, where his goal is to inspire 1 million pounds of healthy results, which he tracks on his website, millionpoundmission.com. He's known for helping females and a few men over the age of 30 that are super busy being employees, entrepreneurs, partners, friends, and moms. These are the people that tend to put themselves and their health last on the priority list. And Adam teaches them how to escape the black hole of weight loss doom, which is where most people get trapped in the vicious cycle of losing weight and gaining it back over and over again. Adam impacts his community by teaching them his 7 necessary steps for long-term weight loss success that have produced a total of, where are we at? How many pounds?
You already crossed 60,000 pounds.
Nice. 60,000. I knew it was more than what was on the website. It said 55,000. I was like, we're way past that. Of results for his clients and community members so far. Ladies love him. Girls adore him. I mean, even the ones who never saw him. Welcome to the show, Adam Shiner.
I don't know where that lyric is from.
Ladies love me. Girls adore me. I mean, even the ones who never saw me.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Welcome.
What's up, bro?
I want a pod right now. Vegas, I'm excited. And Rapping Danny Vega AKA the Ghost.
The Ghost.
That's actually your new rapper name now.
The Ghost.
The Ghost. The Pod Ghost. I started pod to ghost. Like get the Doobie Brothers song in my head. I saw you guys like doing some pottery or something, you know, like, you know, like spinning that wheel. Like you could totally do. He's like the Cuban Patrick Swayze. Many people call Danny that.
People can't see me. That's why they call me the Ghost. Like my skills are at a level that cannot be seen. There are no peers. She's looking at me very
the library in his head is a ghost for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're so happy to finally have you on our show. I couldn't believe that we hadn't had him already on the show. It's just one of those things. You know how it is when you have a podcast, you're like, there's only so many weeks in the year.
It's wrong.
And it's just wrong. Yeah.
It's totally wrong.
But let's get into it. We have so much to talk about today. But we always lead off with the question: what is the most critical problem you're currently trying to solve?
Well, that's a wonderful question, Mauro Vega. And you kind of alluded to it in the intro there. Like my whole platform is this whole helping people escape what I call the black hole of weight loss doom, because people just get so locked up in that. You guys see it. I see it, where they start a journey. They get some initial results. Life happens. Life smacks them in the head. They're not ready for it. They backslide and go all the way back to where they started. And then they start blaming the program. Like, oh, keto didn't work. Oh, my boot camp didn't work. My program, my personal trainer didn't work. But really, it's more about solving that life happens moment and helping people be better prepared for those curveballs that we know life will throw at us, whether it's relationship changes or pandemics. We have to be able to roll with the punches better. And that's the problem that I'm really diving deep on. That's what I'm, you know, spending the largest part of my day on each and every day.
I love that, especially with social media, there's so much like back and forth, like, oh, carnivore, vegan, this, that. But really, each individual person has to address their individual lifestyle and exactly what you're talking about. So, yeah.
Yeah. And the other cool thing about it is like, we're going to get deeper into this because this is what I think makes you unique, man. Like you're in this community, but like, you're not like, I love this. Like, I want to get to this point, you know, like you're not like, oh, Adam, the keto guy. No, yeah. That's not, or Adam, the carnivore guy. Like you're known. And this is, I love this. Like, we're going to get into it because, you know, the people that follow you, and I said, ladies love him, girls adore him. That's the reason why I even said that is because ladies do love him.
Demographics? Yeah, yeah. What are your demographics? Cause I have a lot. Let's see if you beat me.
You're like what, 80% like, women or something?
No, I haven't got to 80.
I'm like 55%.
But I'm women. At 78% women.
Yeah. Like with the podcast, I'm probably 90% women.
Wow. I'm sure it matters which platform for sure.
Yeah. On Instagram, yeah, I would say 75 to 80%. Like
that. Wow, that's still a lot. That's still a lot.
It's just the style of coaching that I do.
Yeah.
It's very, you know, they have to give up control. And I 100% believe in something called the male ego. And what I've found is like guys want to find a podcast, listen to it, get some tips, and then go sneak off into a super secret gym, get results and be like, look at this thing I figured out on my own. Like they don't want to and join an accountability group. Like, let's all band together and do this together. It's like, I don't want anybody to know that you gave up control of any portion of my life.
Right.
I want to look like I'm the superstar of this situation. And not every guy is like that, but that's just why I feel like my audience skews towards the female side, just because I'm high on implementation. I'm high on accountability. I'm high on just being open and honest, being vulnerable and looking at and admitting the areas that are really screwing us up and taking personal responsibility. And that just tends to vibe more with females in general.
I can totally see that.
I can totally see that, but I also find that to be, you know, an issue. Men should definitely.
I totally agree. I have a hard time.
But it's just how it is. And that's fine because we do have different roles in general. So there is a reason that men are like that. Like, you guys are the ones that are the protectors. And if we really were cavemen, you would be the one protecting the family, fighting off. You know, you need to have a certain type of personality for that. So that makes sense.
And I think also, like, you know, where I am right now, like, I understand that it's important and I actually want it. But when it happens, I don't like it, obviously. Like, when you challenge me, you keep me accountable every single day, sometimes from the moment we wake up. and sometimes I hate it. But like, I wouldn't want it any other way, you know? Yeah, so like, I think you're right, man. More of us need to be, more men need to be vulnerable and open to criticism, open to, like, you know, correction. This is one thing that you mentioned, with your, you're more of a course guy. And I love this about you. So like when it comes to this, like, you're one of the most skilled people I know when it comes to creating these workshops, guiding people through the processes, like achieving their goals. You got this, monetizing the podcast thing coming. Is that this week or next week?
That's coming out. The podcast monetization workshop is coming out at the end of July.
Okay. So you got all these different things and a bunch of other subjects. And so people not only seem to love these, but they love you because of it. What do you think these courses, why do you think they do so well versus, for example, like my old approach, which I'm trying to move away from, which is like a program, which is right. like a very, again, I think male dominated thing. It's like, let me get this program.
Let me just buy the program. Yeah. I'll do it myself. Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, that's the key thing is viewing it from kind of a bridge standpoint. People are coming in, whether, you know, as a podcaster, I podcast on health. And then my other show is podcasting about podcasting, very meta. But either way, I'm like, all right, their journey starts here and they want to get to there. How do I create an education system that bridges that gap and gets them to think in the way that I want them to think? So for me, dabbling in or dribbling in some accountability, some implementation and some community, those are huge for everything that we do. So when we do a course, there's those elements are always in there where I'm going to teach you this thing, but there's going to be some accountability through assessments or through group accountability. There's going to be a community of people. I'm going to make you interact with other people and talk about these things, whether it's Zoom chats or a Facebook community or some other modality. And then, you know, implementation is you're going to feel that I don't want to say pressure, but it is. It's a positive pressure of, I need to be moving along at a certain pace. And it seems like if you have a workout system or a program or a PDF download, like it seems like you can already check that off. Like, I got it. Check.
Good point.
But with a course, it's like, I've got 29 videos and I've only done 4 of them. That's not done. I can't check that box yet. Yeah, so that drives people forward a little bit in their journey.
Yeah. And the other thing is like, there's along the way, you know, being mindful, you know, just kind of like being present in the process, which was like something that I was excited about with what we're doing, but we're going to wait for the end to talk about that.
Spoiler alert.
So, you know, we love that you have a unique take on body transformation versus a lot of other people in this field. Can you talk to us about how you measure progress and where people should focus versus what a lot of your peers are saying?
Yeah. So with me, I view it like you alluded to earlier, Mauda, it's like there are so many camp battles happening in our space of like keto versus vegan versus carnivore versus low carb versus high carb. And I view it as we're all on the same side against disease and people dying. And like, I would much rather have somebody go vegan than eating like Diet Cokes and smoking cigarettes and obese.
Yeah,
And I'm cool with that. I feel like there's a lot of energy expended on trying to be the most right. And that's ego.
Yeah,
That's all ego again.
And, you know, we're all into kind of stoic thoughts and stoicism. And like diving deep into that has really helped me just get out of that ego cesspool. And I go, all right, what's the real situation? And it's just making better decisions and arming people to make better in the moment stress-induced decisions when they are, you know, tossed one of those curveballs that of, okay, my spouse is cheating on me and our marriage is ending, or my job work schedule shifted, or I had an injury at the gym and my workout schedule is different. People aren't handling these situations very well. And that's leading them to backslide or say, oh, I can't do this right now. It's not, you know, they're not doing progress. Versus perfection. There's like, if it's not perfect, it's light switch on or light switch off. And that's just an epidemic it's just running rampant in our space. So I try to work at, you know, the different modalities, the keto diet, the carnivore, vegan, high carb, low carb, those are all tools in a transformation toolbox. And I feel like the important question to ask is, what are we trying to build? And what is our game plan to build that? If we don't have those two questions answered, we're just kind of screwing around with these different modalities. And that's why you see people do, I did carnivore for a week. That didn't work. So obviously something's broke with that. It's like, they have no idea what they're trying to build. They just got a hammer and they're just hammering random directions and they aren't building anything because they don't have a goal of building anything. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I'll just add one more thing. These hot seat calls, these group calls that you always implement, that's part of it, you know, because people can freely share. And there's this, you've cultivated this environment where people feel free to share. Like when we did Meet in Bricks and we were doing these live calls, it just, I even shared about stuff like when I was hosting lives that was, you know, eating at me and stuff. And that's a much healthier environment, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You're on there openly weeping, man. Like Danny's doing the tearjerker Facebook lives.
I don't remember.
Cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. I think he cried twice. And everybody's like, he's such a big teddy bear.
They do not know. That's not true. I rarely see him cry.
No, rarely. But if it's with my kids or if it's with you,
there's certain things that make you cry.
You know, another thing that I love about you is just your outlook on how to stay organized and on the right path. So some of the things that we see is like, you know, procrastination, a lack of planning, and the way some of us sacrifice other important areas like relationships. So we're at risk if we're not being mindful. Why don't you talk to us about the lifestyle audit and how you approach that?
Well, the lifestyle audit is a process that I created. Danny, as you know, like I name everything. Like I'm a namer of things. It just happens.
It's a gift.
Yes, it's a gift.
You know, Mauda
it's so
rejected.
Good though. Like Couch to Carnivore is so good.
Yeah, but you rejected his name for your program that we wanted to do.
I know because I wanted
Big Booty Mamas.
I think
like
we can do better.
I thought Big Booty Mamas.
Well, because you know me,
I didn't come up with Big Booty Mamas. That was Danny's.
Which was yours? I don't remember. I thought it was like something like that. It was like
it was like the Planking Awesome Challenge or something like that. It was the
planking
verbiage. Yeah.
That one too. That's another one. And you didn't rejected the Planking Awesome.
Oh no, it was Marcella. That was Marcella.
Oh yeah. So she went with Mommy Plank Mama. Whatever.
Planking Mama.
Yeah, I let her do it, whatever.
naming is a thing that I do, but the lifestyle audit is a process that I created because I realized a lot of adults and especially parents and especially entrepreneurs that are parents, like they just put the blinders on and don't realize, you know, day in, day out, they're just giving all their time away to all these time suck areas and things that aren't the most important to them. So I created this process with accountability and some, you know, some personal acceptance that needs to take place. Where people, there's three simple stages. The first stage is I have people map out how they're spending all their time, 168 hours in a week. They can just kind of ballpark it. Usually people know how much they're sleeping, their workouts, how much time they're spending with that, work hours, definitely. And then they start to see that they're spending like, you know, 10, 20 times more time at work than they are with their kids. And usually it's less than 1 hour a week of personal development or personal time. You know, I deal with a lot of moms. I coach a lot of moms and they realize that like everything is going out and they aren't investing any time in them. I'm like, no wonder you feel like hell and you feel like you're just being beat up by your life and because you aren't investing anything in you. And if you do, you feel guilty about it, which is super bad. So that's the first process. First part of the process is just mapping out how we're currently spending our 168 hours. The next leg is we go to ideal. We jump from now to ideal. Like how, if your life was just dream schedule, what would that look like? And I'm like, you can't hold anything back. This isn't like, oh, that's unrealistic. There's no way I could ever only work 20 hours a week. Like if that's ideal, then put it and shift those time blocks around like you want them. So they do that. And then we go in between and go, all right, I want you to pick three areas that we're going to start implementing a 10% improvement starting next week. Starting ASAP. So if it's sleep, where are you at currently? What's 10% better? Schedule it for next week.
Right,
you know, set an alarm of I need to be in bed 15 minutes earlier every night so that I can hit my sleep goal of 10%. And I like the 10% mark because that's very doable. It's very friendly. I have to prove to people that this can actually happen. And they get some traction like, wow, I am going to bed earlier. I am getting more sleep. I wake up earlier. I invest an hour in myself first and I can do exercise. I can do meal prep. I can do journaling. I can do art. I can do whatever I want. So it creates a chain reaction and we just do those three simple steps. But it is, there's a lot of introspective thinking that needs to go on and people aren't used to taking a break and doing that. But this is a process you could, you know, spend 30 minutes, 45 minutes on and it's a total game changer and that it's a wake up call. And that's what I'm all about.
I like that. I need that. Did you write that down?
Dude, I was just writing now.
And I was like, write down those notes.
I put, well, he has forms for everything.
Yeah, I'll send you the PDF. Yeah, that's
send
easy.
Me the PDF because Danny's really good about this. I'm not good at it in general. I also have really horrible attention problems.
But you also, we talked about this today, about how women get the short end of the stick because how crazy is this, man? Think about this. Think about your wife.
I mean, seriously, for
well, come on, I agreed with you.
Shorthand life, I've been saying
this. She's been saying that forever. Shorthand life. I always get the short end of the stick. Like a mother, like and wife, like my wife. Not like a lot of women. I'm not saying, look, this works for us. I'm not making a judgment. If you like to work all day, go ahead, work all day, whatever. But like you know, look, Maura, she has our business. She has like a few other businesses that she's doing for herself, which like is now contributing financially to our household. Then she's also the primary person taking the kids through the day to day, the boring, annoying, every single part of the day to day. And then on top of that, you know, women like Maura are doing that and then feeling bad if they feel worn out or if they feel like you mentioned, like
if I take the time. Right? That's the part that is the hardest.
How many years moms, did it take
it makes sense because you work with a lot of women and that is like mom guilt is a thing. You know what I mean? Like if you do take that time, you feel bad about it. It took me a really long time to accept help. I would just complain, but then not want the help. But it wasn't that I didn't want the help. It's that I would feel guilty. So it's like, well, I don't want to go to Target because then it changes a little bit when the kids are older. It gets a little bit easier for sure. When they're babies, it's definitely harder to leave. But
it took you 5 years to schedule a massage with my massage.
But therapist. That's also because I don't like usually typically to have massages.
Oh yeah. But like, that's one of the things that are good. Like for, especially when you're sore,
And no, it's perfect with Mary. Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. That's, I love the lifestyle audit.
I love that. Well, I'm on my question.
We're going to do it for sure.
So this is another area where you are super unique as well. And I'm glad Danny has this question here for us because we need advice.
Yeah.
A lot of us, including Danny and
we have good intentions though.
We tend to come off sometimes, and it's honestly something that I've really backed up just in the last week, honestly, that I feel like I'm working on. But you know, we tend to come off too hardcore, abrasive, you know, based on our interactions with people in your Mission Impossible crew and the content you put out, you approach this differently. So talk to us about, you know, this whole on plan versus off plan mindset and how you approach that.
Yeah. So one of the things that we beat ourselves up on in a health journey, you hear this all the time, like, oh, is that food on plan? I'm on keto. Is that on plan? Or you know, I went off plan because I cheated and I ate blueberries or you know, whatever. And people are very stressed out about this. And it's just bred by the language that all of us have. And my thought is, again, it kind of goes back to that transformation toolbox analogy and that thought process is, I'm not really thinking, am I on plan or off plan? I'm more concerned with, do you have a plan? Because most people don't. They absolutely don't. And a lot of people are like, well, I'm doing keto. I'm like, that's not a plan. That's a nutrition protocol. So I need you to think about your body like you would your business and what's going to put you out of business. So, you know, looking, I'm a big fan of having like a 28-day plan that works well for me and my community where we go, all right, over the next 28 days, let's make a commitment. What are we doing for our nutrition? And what are we not going to change ideally for the next 28 days? Because that's another thing that happens to, you know, we love our podcast listeners and we love being podcasters, but we're really good at swaying people to get excited about what we're excited about. So they're like, oh, I listened to Adam's show on Monday about intermittent fasting. And now I'm doing intermittent fasting, but then I listened to Vegas on their episode.
Right.
And I'm going to switch to this, and we're program hopping and we don't know if something does work. We don't know what it was because we're all over the place. So I'm like, all right, 28 days commitment. What are we going to do and not change? I don't care what it is. Let's just make a commitment. Same thing with our exercise. People get all wishy-washy about like, well, if my alarm goes off at 5:30 AM, maybe I'll sign up for my bootcamp class. As a recovering gym owner, I know that does not happen. Like when that alarm goes off and if you haven't signed up yet, you're not going and you aren't committed. So exercise game plan for the next 28 days, sign up in advance, pay in advance. If you got a workout partner, you know, tell them in advance, book what days and know what you're doing. Like Monday, Wednesday, Friday, are we doing strength training? Or are we just going to go and, you know, randomly do whatever's in the gym? Like have a really as much of a rock solid plan as you can. Same thing with mobility, recovery. We're mapping that out. And then, of course, my big the big platform is identifying your transformation danger zones over the next 28 days. You know, as a business owner, I don't just cover my eyes and hope for the best. I go, okay, where are the potential danger zones that could put me out of business? But we don't do that with our health, and we just hope it all ends up, you know, as good as possible. So I like to have people scan 28 days and go, all right, where does the road get a little bit slippery? Maybe there's a vacation plan. Maybe there's a work, you know, a stressful work period. Maybe there's a birthday. Let's map these things out in advance. And that's what I'm talking about. When you have a game plan, you've got a home base to fall back on. And once we've got that, whether we go on plan or off plan, it's just, we just do course correction at that point. Of course, you know, every once in a while you're on a road trip and there's construction, you've got to veer off course, but then you can just take the next on ramp back into the course that you're trying to get to in the first place. And it's all good. So yeah, I encourage people to quit stressing out and beating themselves up and getting in their head so much about, oh, my keto, but I ate blueberries, epic fail, I might as well quit. You know, it's like, not such a big deal versus like, we've got to stay true to our intent of why we started the journey and let that be kind of our accountability North Star. And if we have that, then we can always course correct along the way. And it's more about progress versus perfection, as you guys know.
Yes.
I love that. And I'll say one of the things that I will say that we do good, like that we do this well, is we're mindful of where we are versus where we were before. So like, let's say like, you know, we'll go out and we're like, I'm going to cheat with a Diet Coke tonight. Yeah. You know, like, I'm like, I'm like, I used to cheat with, you know, a hot fudge sundae, you know, and a whole box of cookies.
How about when I started keto and all I drank was Diet Dr. Peppers and not water for like days.
Probably. Yeah. And you felt terrible.
And I was like, why do I, again, back with the water thing. Like I can, have water. I can go without water for quite some time. Apparently I would be like, man, why do I have such a migraine? Oh yeah.
It's like all I've had
is Diet Dr. Pepper and coffee.
My goodness, oh yeah. Man.
But hey, that's keto, which is, again, it brings your point back full circle because
it's like, oh, I'm doing well because I'm doing keto.
I'm doing well because I'm doing keto. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Or even just another thing that's been something that just recently I've been okay with. And I'm sure you know this because a lot of women struggle with this. It's like that feeling after you do maybe fall off plan or whatever. Like we are so hard on ourselves. Like we try to undo it or we're going to fast the next day. No, you're starving yourself.
That's actually, as Jessica defined it, remember?
That is bulimia.
That's
actually
bulimia.
Bulimia is a behavior that's trying to undo.
Overcorrect,
Or even just feeling so bad about it or feeling bad about, like, let's say, like, look, quarantine was a perfect thing, right? Like, I gained some weight during quarantine. And honestly, for the first time ever, I was probably like, okay, like, I know I can lose it. I'm not going to sit here and be miserable until I lose it.
Yeah.
Because usually I am. I'm miserable until I lose it. And it's like, why? Like, why do I always have to be walking around shredded? Why? If I'm healthy, I'm still healthy. It's not like I was eating poorly.
I wasn't mad about it.
Stressed out. I started off quarantine pretty lean. So it's not like I looked bad. Like, pretty who cares? Lean. And then this is, I was very lean.
You had like ab veins. Yeah.
But like being okay with like where you're at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then also taking into consideration now, like how far we've come. So
I personally, and Travis said this the other day, I love the comeback. You know, like
the comeback's great.
I love like kind of, you know, letting it go for a little bit. I don't do it on purpose, but like if it happens, like with pandemic, like I gained like 12 pounds, you know, like, and now I just noticed this today because I was feelings. On another podcast. I'm now back where I was in week three of the carnivore. What's my program? Carnivore keto cut. And I'm at 223 now, which where I was like in week three before the wheels fell off. And I'm just like, see, there I am.
Oh,
and
now I'm back on my way. You were in the middle of a cut, right? Right when quarantine happened? Yeah.
But I will say that like, I'm like you in the sense that like, it's so weird. Like when my training and my diet is on point, it's easier for me to see all the good things that are going on in my life. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, this is awesome. This is awesome. My training and diet are awesome. But it's really that like, I'm happier because I'm sticking to my plan. And, you know that I kind of like veer off sometimes, but like, it's always like a controlled demolition. That's like, that's what I call it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. I think another process, another visual I try to put out there for people is when we're on a health body transformation, weight loss journey, we are operating in the currency of momentum. And when you think about momentum, there are really three labels we can put out there: negative momentum, positive momentum, and momentum shifts in one direction or the other. And what people, when they find Danny's carnivore keto cut, they're like, all right, I've been struggling. My momentum is going this way. And then I found Danny's program and that reversed my momentum. And now it's supposed to be good forever.
Oh,
and
that's just,
yes.
And that's like the expectation. And then all of a sudden,
that's really
it's good, not good forever. And my momentum shifted again. Why is it doing this? Did I do something wrong? Is this program not the right program? I thought this was supposed to work forever. And so we beat up ourselves with those unrealistic expectations. And we have to realize that this road, it's not one U-turn. It is a series of squiggly lines. It looks like a serpentine, you know, highway going, but it's just trending in the right direction. And what we have to do is get better about realizing what phase of momentum we're in. So if you're in good momentum, awesome. How do we maintain that? How do we make decisions to fuel that fire? If you're in bad or negative momentum, if you're sliding, if you're, you know, in pandemic mode, what have we done in the past that's helped us make that U-turn? It's like a highway system. What's the correct on-ramp and off-ramp we should be looking at taking? Maybe it was something like the carnivore keto cut. Maybe it was a personal trainer. Maybe it was an accountability group. Maybe it was a podcast you were really into. Maybe it was a book that you read. But dive back into that and we start shortening those times in negative momentum. And this can be applied to business, to relationships. It's just about understanding and really being willing to be self reflective and like, okay, what's the real situation here? I'm not going to BS myself about where I'm at in my life or with my health or with my business or with my relationships. Let's look at that and let's take, you know, proactive action and see what we can actually do about it. And that's super important.
I love that about you, man. I'm telling you again, it's one of those things. If anything, I hope what people get from this conversation is just how good you are at that part, you know, like very stoic, definitely very stoic. And this is, it's funny because this is continuing. This is a good dovetail on the last question is talk to us about, you know, you got things like recovery weeks, you got cheat banks, you got other practical solutions that help that long-term success that shifts people away from that diet mentality where it's like, okay, I broke my diet. It's the end of the world. I might as well quit life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. One of my most popular topics that I speak on is the cheat bank. And some people don't like to use the word cheat. So you can be like free meal indulgence. Bank.
I like Ali's indulgence.
The treat yourself account or whatever you want to call it. I just come from like the more bro side bro of like science. Cheat meals. I take cheat bro, you know, cheat meals. So anytime I see that there is an issue that involves people getting in their own head, I'm like, all right, how do we create a tool and a habit and a process around this to help eradicate this? So the cheat bank is for the person that you tend to go off plan and, you know, you're doing a certain nutritional protocol and you bump out of there, you get some McDonald's or you get a pizza or you eat watermelon or whatever. You're outside of the box, outside of the rules that are defined by your nutritional program of choice. People beat themselves up about that. They fall off the wagon and go back to where they started. They lose all their momentum. So I was like, all right, that doesn't make any sense. You know, if we can do something at 80% effectiveness, 90% effectiveness, we're going to get amazing results. So let's take the pressure off. Let's own it. So with my whole 28-day planning philosophy, we look 28 days in advance. We commit to a certain amount of times that will actually go off the game plan. And maybe that's 4 meals. Maybe that's 3 meals, you know, whatever. I let people kind of dabble with that and experiment with it, but you own it and go, all right, and here's actually when I'm going to do it. You schedule it and go, all right, I've got date night. I've got my bro fest with the boys that we watch football. I've got my kid's birthday, a work thing,
right.
Vacation, and you map those out. You own it so that when it happens, it's actually a part of the plan. Like it's a part of your plan. You didn't go off plan because it's a part of the plan. And that way you don't beat yourself up. And we go, and then it's all about balance. Everybody that comes to people like you guys or like me for advice or for coaching, they want to find balance where they're very happy with their health, but they're also very happy and feel good about their lifestyle. And they don't feel like they're giving up all those lifestyle points. So the cheat bank is a thing that we can manipulate and go, all right, you took 7 cheat meals the last 28 days. You lost 8 pounds. Sounds good to me. Let's see what 8 cheat meals does, because maybe you can get away with that and your health is good. Or maybe you gained 8 pounds. Oh, sounds like too many. We should probably skim those back a little bit. So it's a thing that we can manipulate. And it, all of a sudden, like people are going, yeah, I'm really comfortable taking 1 cheat meal per week. I know I can use that when I want. Some people split it up into food cheats and alcohol cheats too. That's another philosophy that we talk about and a strategy that we can use. But it really works well because it allows for that balance, and it's something that we can actively manipulate, and people can see, and it helps them take ownership too, because it's not like, I've been doing this thing that Danny wrote for me. I gained 10 pounds. I was supposed to lose 10 pounds. What happened? I'm like, well, you ate pizza every other day. That's probably an issue. This adds accountability, and you're, again, mapping it out in advance. If I can just get one person to think in advance for their health game plan, my job is done. I mean, that's what I'm all about.
I love that. That totally works. Because even for like, remember when I started doing carb ups for my cycle, it's funny because I would still, before the actual planned carb up, I would still carb up and it would end terribly because it wasn't planned. So I would actually go overboard and eat whatever was around instead of planning something that is actually maybe, you know, like I'll plan. Cause for me, I can't, this is everybody, this is where everyone has to use their own discretion. Not everybody can do certain things. Like I cannot afford to eat a pizza. Like I will feel so bad. I will be literally depressed physically for like a week. So for me, it's better to just plan it out. And then it's like, you take care of that craving that was going to come anyways from the cycle. And it was planned out. I knew exactly what I was going to eat. And like, I probably ate less than if I would have just given into a craving it by depriving myself. So yeah, I love it.
And let me tell you,
it's like, way better when you plan it out.
I don't cheat with these carb up days because I lower my fat, but I definitely enjoy them very, very much.
Like, right. But that's what I'm saying. When you plan it, like that's what I would do too.
And
like,
I put
I'm
them
like, oh,
to
I'm
going
to have carbs. So that day, exactly. And I then you put it twice. To work. Like you plan out, okay, I'm going to hit legs the next day. I'm going to eat all these carbs. I'm going to hit legs the next day. And my fat will be lower that day. But you plan it instead of like, oh, I had a high fat day, but I'm also craving carbs. I'm also going to eat all the carbs and feel horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to plan it out.
If you plan it out, it's going to create a situation where we're going to have stronger willpower because if it's a crash and burn, you beat yourself up, willpower goes boop, and it gets it's worse. Like you said, you eat five pizzas instead of one piece of pizza.
Right.
And this is more like I owned it. Yeah. It's part of the deal. It takes some getting used to, but I, you know, usually get people there.
And I like the fact that you let them play around with like how many times too, because that can make a difference. You're like, oh, well, how many do you think you need? You know, well, didn't really work or it did work. And yeah, that's great. That's great. All right. So let's talk about systems. You're a systems guy. We love that. I don't know too many other people who periodize their caffeine intake. Is this true?
Yes, this is true.
Danny
this
wrote
is
this true. Question, obviously. Tell us about the systems you follow daily. For example, Power Hour. I have heard of Power Hour. I love that. And yeah, talk about the caffeine thing because I also need help.
Yeah, I've done a good job with that lately and it's been good.
Oh, I need to like, the thing is that I'm a fast metabolizer. So, and I like the taste. So mainly I drink coffee for the taste. So I need to switch to decaf as well. I need to occur.
But it's high acid. It's like,
it's also high acid though.
There's lots of little things that,
yeah. There's other reasons why I don't want to be drinking coffee, but it's hard.
All right. So yeah, I use like the West Side Barbell conjugate system of coffee. No. So we've got a speed day. We've got a band training coffee.
It's really cool. I like it.
So what a few of just basic rules that I think people can apply. One is I don't do the same caffeine source back-to-back days. That's a simple rule of just like, so for example, I love a nootropic called Tao, T-A-O, the Ultra Human. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So that may be one day. Then the next day, it's just like cold brew coffee. And then maybe the next day, it's strong coffee. I just like to just not do the same one all the time. I just feel like that helps me not get totally hooked on that one.
And then source. Are you off on the weekend?
Yeah, I'm super hooked on the coffee. Sorry.
I make sure I have at least 2 days, zero caffeine. So there's got to be 2 days, no caffeine. Obviously you guys know as parents and as podcasters, I'm like, okay. I want caffeine for my workouts. So I'm like, all right, I want caffeine when I podcast so I can think and speak coherently. But the weekend I try to talk myself into it. I'm like, I don't want to be a jerk to the kids today. I better have some caffeine.
Exactly.
So I got to be really strategic. So a lower thought, like more of like a buffer work day where I'm not doing interviews or something like that. That's a good no caffeine day if I don't have a hard workout that day. But yeah, those are the simple rules of no, I don't do the same source back-to-back days, 2 days off per week. Then I usually try to go at least 1 week per quarter where I do zero caffeine. And then you're spending a lot less money on caffeine. Like otherwise people are just like more to get the same effect.
Yeah.
And you don't have to do that. Like, so a rule of thumb with my caffeine is if I do one of my non-caffeine days, I shouldn't have a headache. I shouldn't have a withdrawal headache. And if you do, that means that we're probably having too much. Yep.
Gotcha. That's good.
Yep.
Sounds like fun, right? Right, Maura? You down for the...
She's been putting this one off for sure for a long time.
Because it's like I already have like so little things that I consume at this point. I've given up so many things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, whatever, guys.
And that would disrupt our whole morning routine. Because
it's like a ritual. It's like the whole thing. It's the coffee itself. There's nothing to even do with the caffeine. That's the thing.
Well, look,
I love caffeine.
I mean, I love it. Don't get me wrong. I love the caffeine. But like I drink coffee truly for the taste. And so sometimes when we run out of decaf and the whole pot was regular coffee and I drink the regular amount where it would have been half calf, I feel it. I'm like, oh, my adrenals hate me right now.
But. Yeah.
Well, Maura doesn't know about this. It's probably going to put some pressure on me when she learns. But you are the king of living frugal and working toward financial independence. So can you share a few of the things you do that are simple, but like over time they lead to that financial freedom?
Yes, dude. Like I nerd out about financial independence because if you guys read The One Thing, Gary Keller, Jay Papasan, my one thing is my financial independence number. So I know if I'm driving towards that, I am reclaiming control over my life, essentially. So the first step is figuring out what is your financial independence number. So quick and simple math, just so people know, and some people like tune out at this point, but to me, it's about my life. And I've got a goal of being financially independent by age 45. That's 5 years from now, because then working is a choice, not an obligation.
Right.
So what you do is you take your yearly living expenses, like what it takes for you guys to live. Cutting out, like, don't factor in investments, don't factor in costs that will go away. Like, I mean, I would factor in like mortgage and things like mortgage, that, but not like investments.
Yeah. Like a
Roth. Cause that's, so when you're good, you don't have to make any more investments. So you wouldn't factor those into your number. So you take your yearly expenses to live. All right. Don't factor in like vacations and things like that, like essentials.
Essential.
You take that and multiply by 25. That's your financial independence number. And this is called the 4% rule. And not, again, to nerd out too much, you take your number and you figure out how much you're spending per year to make your family go, multiply by 25. So if you invest that amount in broad-based index funds in the stock market, you'll average about 5%. That's like the history of the stock market, non-pandemic times, over long 30-plus year extended periods. You'll average 5% or greater. So what we're factoring in is a 4% withdrawal rate. So we say, all right, I have to get this amount and I can live off of 4% because that 4% is the number that you just calculated off of based off of what it takes for you to live right now. All right. So in a kind of a confusing way route that I just described, basically we're saying, how much money do I need in the bank to live off of 4%, which is how much I'm used to living off of right now. Does that make sense?
But is this per year?
Per year.
Okay. So the yearly living expense to live times 25, that number is per year. You need that per year?
No.
Your financial total. Independence.
Let me give you my exact numbers.
Yeah. That's the total I'll from when you're 45.
Yes.
Okay.
So here is my exact numbers. And I'm proud of this. So
yeah, do it.
But so you get the number and then you start working backwards and go, well, how do I make that number smaller? How do we live off? How do we reduce our expenses?
Right.
So that I get to that number faster. That's the real thing we're getting at.
Right.
So once I figured out the number, I was like, all right, what can I cut back on? Where can I get more efficient? I'm always just like craving financial efficiency.
That's me asking.
Like I was bragging to Danny about how I got my cell phone bill down to $15 a month now with this new wireless program.
What was I yelling at you yesterday for?
Pay as you go.
I'm like that too, man. I was like, you still have YouTube Red? I'm like, why are you paying for that? I'm like,
exactly. I'm like, so
that's
like,
a hard one. It's because
I get it because you can't scroll out, but the peasants over here are suffering. While yeah, but you, you're part of like the your same, conveniences.
You're part of the same account.
You can, I'm not.
Family? Well, oh, you have your own account.
I have my own account.
We'll do an audit and I'll just start canceling everything, Maura. So don't worry.
Yeah.
So what you do is you go, okay, how can I lower this number? So for us, I've got our family monthly living expenses is about $2,000 a month total.
Wow. That's pretty epic. That's like,
total.
I feel we
I don't have a mortgage.
And that's probably mostly food, right? Because we spend most of our money on food.
Just wait. Just wait until you hear what I spend on food. So
$2,000
a month. We don't have a mortgage. The mortgage is paid off. We don't have car payments because I make frugal decisions. Danny has ridden in my nerd car. it's
oh yeah. Like, well, we did the no car payments for a while and now we have them and I'm like, this is dumb.
He has a Leaf.
So yeah. What? So I've got
an electric car.
I don't pay for gas and I don't pay to charge that thing because I take it to a local park where charging is free and I let my kids play at the park. So double win. So you start making frugal decisions like this. So $2,000 a month is $24,000 per year as what it takes to make our family go. The electric bill, food, all that. You multiply by 25, that's $600,000. That's my number. That's what I'm driving towards. And that's like you hear financial advisors go, oh, you need $6 million or $10 million or whatever million dollars. But what they're saying is, how much do I need to keep spending at the rate that I'm spending and just until we get that down to zero. What we're talking about is getting $600,000 a year in the market on a 4% with return, a 5% average 5% stock increase. I can live off of 4% and that number just keeps going up. You build the money machine and guess what you can do with that when you're gone? Give it to your kids.
Yep,
now exactly. They've got the money machine. So at that point, you can live off of that 4% withdrawal rate. And for me, you try to build assets so that you can have even safer withdrawal rate of maybe like 3%. Like I own real estate and things like that, you know, I can pay myself off of rent. So things like that, but that's where I make all my financial decisions off of, like, how do I get to that number faster? So with our $2,000 expenditure, if I bring in $7,000 that I can pay myself, that $5,000 is going to that number. Like it just goes there. Just like goes. I don't go and be like, hey, we can go on a fancy vacation. I'm like, no. We're that much closer. And so
that's me.
Our monthly savings rate, you know, people will brag about 10%, 15%. I'm usually around 70 to 80% of what I bring in is going towards retirement. And I'm totally comfortable living off of that. Now, that was when I owned my gym. I sold my gym and I've taken what I'm calling my 6 month financial detox. Over the first 6 months of the year, lucky for me, a pandemic hit and everyone else decided to do a financial detox at the same time. But I didn't pay myself anything. I just lived off of 6 months of savings because I just wanted to take a time out and do kind of a sabbatical and be with my kids. And I was doing all their schooling. I was still doing all my podcasting. I only worked if I wanted to work.
Right.
And I didn't give myself a paycheck until this month in July. And detaching myself from that was nice too, because that I was creating just as many bad habits about trying to save so quickly as people that spend all their money. It was the same kind of mindset and pressure filled situation. I didn't like that. So now I'm like, you know, if I just made $2,000, I'm like, oh, that's another month. I'm good. If I made $4,000, cool. I just bought myself 2 months with my kids. That's what I'm viewing it as now. That's true. So you can do either or with this mindset where your debt is way under control. You've got a high savings rate. It puts you back in the control seat. And it's just it's something I really believe in. And I wish that more people were aware of this information.
Well, you see, that's one thing. Well, first you got to tell me how much you spend on food, because we spend, look at these savages.
Our budget is $600 or less for the whole family for a month. Yeah. Like my grocery bill last week was for the family was like $80.
I'll literally spend that in 2.5 weeks on groceries, because I also live with complete and utter savages who have no regard for anything like that.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, and you know, I eat a lot of food too. More. I'm just frugal. Like I shop at Aldi's and if something's on sale, I fill up the deep freeze. Like it's full, especially with meat. Like that's where the big expenditure is with meat, eggs, things like that. So I figure out where the best deals are. Like I shop the deals for sure. And
yeah, we do Costco.
That's how we do it.
I love it.
This is one of the best pieces of value we've gotten in this whole podcast.
Yeah. This is really great. Well, honestly, I think now is a great time for people to start doing, getting in this mindset if they haven't already, because honestly, that's one of the main things that I think was a positive out of quarantine. Girls, like, look, I've been doing my own. Look, you don't have to tell me about frugal, ask Danny. I don't like the word cheap. because I'm not cheap. I'm frugal. Yeah. I like having nice things that last me forever that I don't have to buy again.
Exactly.
Right. Because I'm not cheap, but I'm frugal. And so like something that most girls do that I never have done because I can't stand spending that much money is getting my nails done. It literally costs $100 to go get your nails done. That's how much it costs. Okay. And then they don't last. So I do my own. And I save so much money doing that. So that's something that I really think a lot of people came out of quarantine. Like you realized how much you didn't need to eat out. You realize how little you need to live, because that's another thing. We really let our fridge at one point, we're like, we're not going, let's let it empty. Let's eat until there's nothing left for real. Like our fridge got empty. And I think most people were doing that too, probably not on purpose, but like just out of fear, they weren't going to the grocery store. So they would let their fridge empty. You're realizing how little you need, you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah. The pandemic, the quarantine, it's going to make people get healthier and more frugal because they got smacked by those things. Like if you are pre-diabetic or diabetic, you're like, oh man, I'm at high risk here. Like this could be really bad. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do about that? Yeah. Or if you didn't get a paycheck for 2 weeks, you're like, oh man, we're really hurting now. Like if you can't handle not being at work for 2 weeks, that's a serious issue. Like that is something that needs to be taken care of. One frugality stat that blows my mind that I know your audience will love. So for every $100 you can reduce your monthly expenses by, that takes $30,000 off your financial independence number. So if I can reduce our monthly expenditures from 2000 to 1900, that moves my FI number from 600,000 to 570,000.
Wow.
Increase.
So that's why I was paying $100+ for cable. We switched to streaming, you know, Apple TV. That's down, like my TV is like $25 a month. My cell phone went from over $100. I use Ting Wireless, pay as you go, $15 a month. So that's, I just shaved $60,000 off of my financial independence number by those two decisions. I don't have a car payment. I don't pay for gas. I was paying $200 a month for gas. That is $60,000 off my financial independence number because I charge my electric nerd car at the park. You know, like that's every time I drive that car, I'm like, it looks like a frog. It looks like a girl. I'm driving a female frog car is what it looks like.
A female frog car.
It looks like, but
let me tell you, go back to ego. There's nothing better for us, I don't think. Like for the human being to constantly try to remove their
especially
ego.
The American human being.
Especially Americans, because we're all about
bigger,
how we
better.
Look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never been a big car guy. Like I love cars and I still at 45, I still want to buy my freaking 67 Impala, you know.
But you'll like never even drive that thing. That's nice.
But it'll be like 25-30 grand at the most if it's awesome, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And
that's nice.
Hopefully I'll be able to pay it cash. That's the goal.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the goal. Don't get loans, man. Especially with the way the car industry is changing so much right now. I'm just like, our kids probably will never have a driver's license because they're gonna have some swipe card where they just get a robotic car comes and gets them and they go wherever they want to go. Like they may never
drive.
I feel like this is the time when it would be the worst time in human history to buy a brand new car for like $40,000 because in 5 years it may be obsolete. And then what do you do?
Yeah.
So true.
Yeah.
So
I'd never buy new anyway, but
I know.
You can do it. You do it. It's even better if you do it. Cause it's even weirder if I do it.
I was even thinking earlier, like I should have interviewed both of you, but anyway.
Mauda's taking over, folks.
Loaded question, but what are you currently working on? Tell us all the juicy details.
Not much. wait a second. No, I've got a program. I love to tag team with my buddies, and Danny is just one of my people I look up to, and you know, somebody that, like, if you guys have never had an in-depth conversation with Danny, you're missing out. Like, this guy is awesome. We laugh, we cry, you know, we share a lot of knowledge. But Danny is somebody that's helped me a lot with my carnivore program, and I got great results. You know, I end up dropping 11 pounds of body fat and gaining muscle, and really, I've really embraced what he taught me. And I was like, all right, Danny, I have a very much like a general population audience, and they need more steps between, like, I'm just figuring out how to get healthy to carnivore. So I can't, you know, in my naming fashion, I'm like, I've got this name, Couch to Carnivore. It's kind of a playoff of the old Couch to 5K, which, you know, a little side note, Have you ever seen anybody on social media post, I just finished Couch to 5K? It's always like, starting Couch to 5K tomorrow. Oh,
that's true.
And wow. I've never seen anyone ever go, just finished Couch to 5K. Never. It's never happened. Wow. But regardless, this program will be opposite. Couch to Carnivore is all about taking somebody that's just getting started on their health journey and anywhere in that spectrum from you've kind of detoxed, you've cleaned out your body, you've started a ketogenic diet, maybe you're eating whole foods, all the way into different levels of being a carnivore. We map the whole thing out and I kind of take my course building magic and adding community and some implementation and some tools. And Danny just drops the freaking knowledge, man. Like I was like, quit writing so much, man. You just wrote 5 books in that one module. it's so good. Yeah. So good.
Thanks,
and
man.
Danny just nerds out all over the course. Like it's just like a Vega knowledge puke everywhere. Like it's so good. It's so good. And you guys are going to love it. So yeah, it's Couch to Carnivore. We've got it out there. It's as a course, it's just going to be a resource that we're putting out there. We tag teamed on and you guys can check it out at couchtocarnivore.com.
Yeah, it's. I'm looking back and it's like almost 2 months ago. And all he does, we were like in the middle of like texting about something else the day before. We were talking about Danny V and Bobby Bricks, PhD Danny V and Bobby Bricks. And then like he just hits me with this text, collab idea, Couch to Carnivore course. And I'm like, I think it's brilliant. And that was that. And that amazing. Was that. Yeah. That's
yeah.
Amazing. And then he was like, you know, also, you know, Adam's like the, you know, he's the wrangler, the cowboy. Like I'm the wild bucking bronco trying to like go all over the place.
Oh,
and
Adam's gosh.
Like,
come I'm trying to put a saddle on that bronco.
Come on over, Danny. Come back. And then he's like, well, we should be able to do as long as you turn everything in by next week at this time and this. And then I'm like writing it and I'm like looking at how much time I'm spending on each phase. And I'm like, yo, man, I don't think I was like a week late finishing or a week and a half or something. But I was worth it, man. Cause it was like, I just found so many things and I was like, this would be good for them to know. And this goes back to your whole thing with the courses. It's like, you know, we want to be like, look, people make us look good when they don't need us anymore.
It's true.
You know, like yeah, Danny taught me everything. Adam taught me everything, coaching. You know, and then even better, you know, like the Keto Gains guys have like a really brilliant system. For you to be a Keto Gains coach, you had to have gone through their whole program.
Right?
Yeah. And so like, because of that, you have people who are going to promote the heck out of what you do because they got the results.
Right.
You know, right. And that's, there's nothing, no better marketing great. Than that. You know,
yeah, that's great.
So yeah, guys, couchtocarnivore.com. And then is there anything else that you can disclose publicly, like as far as other services, or is that still something where, you know, it's kind of in the background? Things that you can do to help others that you don't have your skill set.
Yeah, well, I've got several. I'm always down with like strategy sessions, things like that. I talk to a lot of podcasters, and I'm getting more into like helping people develop courses and things like that. That's something I love doing. Like normally, I've got like a 7 to 14 day turnaround. If somebody, Danny sent me somebody. Shout out to our friend Cloyce. Best name ever. Also,
did he think of that, or did you think of that?
Cloyce?
I came up with the program, yes. Which has a really great name, but
yes, you guys,
I don't want to put that out there yet because we're not, the website is 100% live, but he came up to me with a great idea. He wanted to help dads out and I was like, cool, man, let's do this. And we got him a mini course, a paid course and a coaching program set up with about 3 hours of work from him, giving me some video time and I did the rest and we're up and running at about 14 day turnaround. So
wow, that's amazing.
Ready to monetize and get it going. I love it. I love helping people. It's the same process, whether it's weight loss or podcasting or whatever. It's like people at a certain point, they want to get to another point. Let's build a bridge. Let's figure that out. And whether it's course development or podcasting or health, it's just something I love to create systems. I love to just initiate progress and growth. And that's just something that I'm kind of built to do.
Amazing.
Love it, man. Last thing, where can people find you online?
Yes. MillionPoundMission.com. All my stuff's there. My podcast, Million Pound Mission, is anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you're interested in podcasting, if you're a podcaster or if you're a pod curious, you can go to castingthepod.com. I've got a podcast where I talk about the journey and tips and best practices, and I interview interesting podcasters. So, and we need to get you guys on that show too, to talk about your podcast.
Yeah, I would love
so
that.
That'll be awesome. We'll then I hang out on Instagram at Million Pound Mission, and Instagram is my jam. And yeah, that's it. That's where I hang.
Awesome. Thank you, bro. You know, you over-delivered, and it just makes us feel even worse that it took this long. But thank you, man. Seriously.
Well, I'm a fan of what you guys are doing. Like, I've got my Fat Fueled Family tank top. I've got, like, I buy into what you guys are doing because you're real. You're authentic. The word authentic is really thrown around a lot. You guys are who you are. Like, I've spent significant time with Danny. Like, he's stayed at my house for a week and we hunted in the woods, and Danny is who he is. And there are a lot of people in the space that they act different when they're around different people. So I just appreciate what you do. I'm a fan of the show. I subscribe. I hit that button. I am tuning in to your show every week. And I just appreciate what you guys are doing and how much you authentically care about what you're putting out there and who that's connecting with. So again, just really, really appreciate you guys, your friendship. And I'm looking forward to what you got next for us.
I think that's going to be our audio clip. We're just going to put that as the audio clip. No, I'm just kidding. The feeling is mutual, bro. 100%, man.
I know. We got to get together.
Well, we're trying to organize this. You know, what we talked about in whatever that is, November, first week of November.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a big one.
I can't believe, like, the whole year. They literally killed our year, these people.
My love, it's July. It is July. Do you know that it's July?
It's the seventh month. Yeah. Like, I feel like we were just like, Happy New Year. Yeah. And it's July.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, literally, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's why I posted what I posted this morning on Facebook. You saw that?
What was it?
It's just 2 weeks, guys.
Oh, it's just 2 weeks.
No big deal, guys. It's just 2 weeks. Quarantine. I'm like,
Yeah.
It's July.
It's July.
Oh, man. Shoot. Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you so much.
Likewise.
Hey guys, we're going to take a minute right now to tell you about one of our amazing sponsors, Santa Cruz Medicinals. Santa Cruz Medicinals is a company that we've been using for years now. They make high potency, high quality, lab tested CBD formulas at an affordable price. They offer ketogenic, paleo, gluten free, sugar free, lab tested formulas.
You all may remember when we did our cannabis series last year. One of the things we learned with CBD is that the research is pretty clear on dosage. 5 to 20 grams per kilogram is what you should be taking per day. And most of the quote-unquote CBD you see online and on Amazon is severely underdosed. Most of these products are offering dosages that are so low, you'd have to down a bottle a day. That's why we love Santa Cruz Medicinals, because they offer highly dosed, potent CBD with clean ingredients, and they have several cool products. But we want to share our favorites with you. So what are your favorites, my love?
All of them? No, really. I have yet to try a product from them that I don't love. However, I will talk about some of my ride or die products. So during my cycle, I get horrible migraines, guys. And my go-to is definitely their peppermint tincture or the 10,000 milligrams to get a potent anti-inflammatory dose. Peppermint has been shown in studies to relieve migraine pain. But let's talk about the pain salve real quick, because this I use for almost everything. And everyone in this household agrees we cannot live without it. So the CBD pain salve, it has clean ingredients that you can trust, but it also has peppermint, which really, really helps. And so what I like to do is I'll rub some on my temples, and it really provides instant relief for me when I have bad headaches. But of course, I'll use it as well for any muscle pain that I have.
Well, I'm personally a huge fan of the 10,000 milligram bottles of CBD in MCT oil. I put it in my coffee, and then again at night, I'll put some more in, like some broth or whatever drink I'm drinking, a hot tea, to get an adequate dose for the day. I also love the pain salve, especially when I'm extra sore. We usually take turns massaging it onto each other, and it always does the job. You guys also have to try the new CBD infused hemp and collagen protein. If you're a fan of horchata, you will love this one.
Oh, that one is so good, guys. We just tried it and it is so good. So yeah, if you're interested, check them out. You can find them at scmedicinals.com. And of course, don't forget to use the code FatFueledMom at checkout to save 15% on your order and get free shipping, guys.
Get Twisted Sundays. We had it again. Look, I'm from the SWAT. You could get your issue. Every beat I get to slicing like I'm Yosha Mitchell. Knew I had the juice since the fourth grade. Had the chili bowl, but I was down to catch a fade. Ooh. Both my partners be catching plays. I only give them balls and hopes that it'll catch a slave. Unlike his mental, them build credentials to catch a wave. Up out of poverty, logically, they should give me praise. Ooh. Hallelujah on my medulla. They clap for me cause they see a ruler straight out the sewer. I try to teach him how to maneuver without the booga. They say I'm spitting bazookas cause the flow is Medusa. That's hard. Word to my T Jones. If your nigga video bees, get a econ. Dolphins was trapping hard, he had three homes. I asked my partner how you popping with a Brie on. Vehicles where it's thinking remedial. He drive a charger, but swear it's a Lamborghini coupe. He shop it hard, but swear he be rocking Jimmy Choo. I get on tracks and do matches just like a genie do. One time for the West, though. Two times for the younger with the best, though. I rap for those relieving stress with the cess smoke. They hear my balls and feel like the God is the best, yo. Hail Mary, mother of God. I got a partner selling soft, another selling hard. They like Ginobili on the block, ready to catch a charge. I got too many friends in low places working it's gone. Brooks and ain't no one joke. Cause it ain't no such thing as halfway crook. They want us all extinct, we halfway look. And feel like dinosaurs, I ain't heard. I'm just kinda sore by the fact that this time of war brought on us. If a kind of poor people who do not mind all sorts of calamity vanity. My sanity is kinda teetering the way that misleading the youth to be some idiots. Yup, 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 ooh. I said it, they gassed up, unleaded. Every beat I'm on, beat-headed. Come at me wrong and get slid like debit. Or credit, it's the same, just refrain from transaction. Fat bad had to get shorty like Jane Hackman. He gave me support that was needed to gain traction. And they'll be making beats that I instantly deem classic, yo. I ain't lying, dawg. We should go diamond with the pressure we applying, dawg. Every beat I get, I hit it with the iron claw. Being king, that's the only thing a lion taught. Yeah, Mufasa, Mikasa. Where I'm from, they turning pasta to pasta. I'm trying to go from ramen noodles to that lobster and pay my mama back for every penny that I cost.